Chapter 6. August. Eric ran into his ex and you're only telling me this now? Raven appeared to have totally forgotten where she was and what she was doing. She leaned over Charles in his chair as though she might shake him by the shoulders. Hello? That is major information! You're the one who asked why I was so tense. And for God's sake, it's hardly important at the moment. We have a couple of seconds, okay? Tell me exactly what went down. The phrase, went down, created unfortunate mental images for Charles, but he knew full well Eric hadn't been unfaithful. He wouldn't even have wanted to be with his ex again. And yet, I only know what Eric told me this morning when he got here. He went to the bakery near his apartment for coffee. His ex was in there, more or less waiting for him, and Eric brushed him off. End of story. Raven crossed her arms. That is so not the end of the story. Charles felt sure of Eric's fidelity, and equally sure there was more to the encounter than Eric had yet told him. Eric had told him about this right away. But there had been a certain hangdog quality to his expression, the way he got when he was feeling burdened or guilty. Oh, why hadn't he stayed at Eric's last night instead of the hotel? He'd worried so much about getting his power chair here, but they could have managed it. And then he would have been with Eric and seen this infamous ex for himself at last, and known why Eric looked so tense and drawn this morning. He forced himself to focus on what was really most important. As soon as I learn more, I'll tell you, okay? For now, all I can say is, Raven, you look beautiful. She beamed at him. The music was swelling louder, heralding her arrival. Charles swiveled his chair into position as Raven smoothed the skirt of her white dress. Okay, she whispered. Are we going to do this thing? Let's. Charles helped her straighten her veil and took a moment to just look up at his sister, the most radiantly happy bride he'd ever seen. You can't doubt love, he told himself, not on a day like this. Then the wedding march began to ring through the church. The ushers stepped out of the way, and an entire roomful of people stood to welcome Raven walking down the aisle, her hand on Charles's arm as he accompanied her to the altar. And, oh dear God, he was sap enough to tear up. But his baby sister, going to marry someone as good and kind as Hank, who stood in front of them practically starry-eyed with happiness, the light filtering down through the stained glass, and their friends all around them, Moira, right in the back, somehow managing to wave and film them with her phone at the same time, and Sean, looking a bit bored as he stood next to Eric, who smiled at Charles with such adoration that Charles felt as though he might melt right there, oozing down the chair and onto the church aisle as a puddle for Raven to step over on her way to matrimony. I'm not worrying about his ex any longer. I don't think I have to. Then Charles was genuinely, truly happy throughout the whole ceremony, and even read the poem Raven had asked him to read without messing up once, and didn't worry one jot until the reception. Even then, he might have done all right if he hadn't immediately run into Moira, who immediately asked after Eric, which made him immediately start venting all over again. Wait, Eric ran into his ex this morning? She said as everyone crushed into the club. Deftly, she took two glasses of champagne from one of the very first trays the cater waiters brought out. Why wasn't he with you? I wanted to stay in the hotel because I was worried about getting my chair all the way uptown again. And Eric went home because he's been painting, and he's anxious to show it to me, so he wanted to finish up last night. Charles sighed. Why couldn't he have hired painters? Then none of this would have happened. Isn't that the whole point of acting like an adult? Going to work, getting a paycheck? Because then you're able to hire people to do enormously annoying things like painting? I always thought it was. You look like you need this. Moira held one of the champagne glasses out to Charles, but he shook his head. I don't much any longer. Eric doesn't care for drinking. I don't really even miss it. That last was more aspirational than factual. Charles longed for a taste of champagne, but sobriety was a small price to pay for Eric's peace of mind. More for me, then. She took a sip from the glass in her right hand, then the one in her left. Come on, the suspense is killing me. What happened? The ex was drinking coffee. Eric bought his own coffee. They had a few words. Eric left. That's it, I think. Was it? Charles changed the subject as best he could. Where's your date? You told me you were bringing the new guy. She made a face. Yeah, well, we went out to dinner a couple nights ago, and I thought, you know, this might be the night he stayed over. I wore matching underwear and everything. And then he leaned across the table and said he just had to know one thing up front. I was okay with sucking cock, right? Because he said he didn't see the point of a relationship without oral sex.
He said that? At dinner?
Before the entree! Charles had to laugh then, but fortunately Moira started giggling too. Her heart wasn't broken.
Well, how very sophisticated.
You know the part that gets me? Moira took a deep sip of her champagne before continuing. I happen to love oral sex. I happen to be great at it. Like, if that's ever an Olympic sport, I'm bringing home the gold for the USA. We're talking about me on the podium, on the Wheaties box, all of it. But I'm not giving it to anybody who's more interested in my mouth than my brain. Or my heart. Oh, damn it. I said I wasn't going to get sentimental about this disaster I call a love life.
He held out one hand, and Moira put down one of her glasses of champagne to take it. For a moment, the whole crush of the reception around them seemed very far away.
It can always, always turn around, Charles whispered. It can change faster than you'd ever imagine. It did for me.
She smiled softly. You're a wonderful man who got snapped up fast. I'm a bossy dame with issues who will probably wind up with multiple little foofy dogs I dress up in matching outfits. But Moira's wicked humor overcame her wistfulness. Speaking of potential Olympic events, you seem to have run through those Viagra refills pretty quickly.
Having your doctor as a personal friend had its problematic side.
I think you only phoned such a short supply so you'd have an excuse to ask how my sex life is going.
Guilty as charged. So, how is it?
Moira arched an eyebrow, and despite her smile and her flame-red cocktail dress, Charles knew she was asking less as a friend and more as a physician.
Okay. No, better than okay. But I still haven't, you know, finished with him.
Her shoulders slumped, nearly as disappointed for him as she might have been for herself.
Not for lack of trying, I hope.
Definitely not for lack of trying. Charles knew he was probably flushing. If only he could be as brazen as Moira. And I'm having the time of my life, with or without. He glanced around the reception before whispering the last word.
Orgasms.
Oh, honestly, nobody is paying attention to us. Watch. Moira stood up straight and said, in a louder than usual conversational tone, Fellatio. 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 Charles cringed, but sure enough, nobody so much as turned around. Satisfied with the demonstration, Moira said,
Time of your life, huh?
Yeah, really. I never appreciated how amazing it is to just know you've given that to someone. How rewarding it can be to think about someone else instead of yourself. Maybe that sounds sappy. I suppose it is sappy. But it's also true. I think I never understood that enough before. But sooner or later, you'd like to get your rocks off. Well, of course. Not just for me, though. For Eric, too. Our situation frustrates him tremendously. He's too generous to be wholly satisfied with a one-way sexual relationship. Even with a friend as close as Moira, some things were too intimate to share. He could confide how incredible he felt making Eric come, but not how difficult it was every time they tried to make the pleasure mutual. Eric was patience itself, willing to suck Charles's cock longer than any other man ever had, or to massage him with oils and talk dirty in his ear. Eric would do all the work when the Viagra got Charles hard, riding him so that his entire beautiful body was on display for Charles' appreciation. And yet, all Eric's efforts, all Charles's hopes, had come to nothing so far. Sometimes Charles felt as though he might be getting close, but so far the feelings had dissipated within only a minute or so. A few times, Charles had been so disappointed, he teared up. Once, Eric became so frustrated, he wound up pacing around the bedroom for half an hour, cursing the driver who'd hit Charles so vehemently, Charles had very nearly been unnerved. But they were getting past the worst of it. Most of the time, being in bed together was a lot like it had been the first time. 5% awkward, 95% bliss, Charles decided. And besides, thankfully, sex doesn't define our whole relationship, he said to Moira. We've had, God, just the most amazing summer. I've been staying at his place during the week, working on the book while he sees clients, and then he comes out to the mansion on weekends. It's like I can't be with him enough, and somehow he feels the same way. Our lives are so different. We're so different. And yet we fit together like puzzle pieces. Every time I see him, I wonder how I found someone so wonderful. Let's get down to it. Does Eric have a drawer? Charles grinned as he nodded. And so do I. Oh, God, you're going to make me believe in love again, aren't you? It would be so much easier to give up. No giving up allowed. I promise, there really are good men out there. Well hidden, I grant you, but they exist. Speak of the devil. She pointed over Charles' shoulder, and he turned to see Eric coming through the crowd toward them. Even amid a roomful of elegantly dressed young people, Eric was the most gorgeous man in sight. Charles just barely managed to keep from sighing out loud. There you are. Eric stopped to kiss Charles softly on the mouth, and then rose to bust Moira on the cheek. And Moira, good to see you again. Same here. Wasn't Charles wonderful? He has the best voice for poetry. She grinned wickedly. Make him read you some love sonnets sometimes. To Charles' surprise, Eric smiled back. I might at that. Moira and Eric had only met twice before, and yet somehow they were already friendly, perhaps on the way to being truly friends. As happy as Charles was about this development, he would have been far happier to be alone with Eric, getting at the bottom of this whole ex-coffee mysterious encounter business. Luckily, Moira was perceptive about such things. I think there's a 5-tier cake out there with my name on it. Someone may be in line before you, Eric said, nodding toward Sean, who stood staring at the cake with the avid, glazed focus of a true sugar addict. Charles said, That's Sean, my new massage therapist, and Eric's friend. Keep him company, would you, Moira? He doesn't know anyone else here. I'll fight him for the first piece of cake. That'll keep him company. With that, Moira set off across the crowded reception, her brilliant red dress soon just one more band of color amid the whirl. The DJ started the usual array of wedding reception standards with Unchained Melody, which made Charles want to roll his eyes. But even sappy old love songs became beautiful when the man you loved kissed you again, in front of the whole world. "There now," Eric murmured. "More than that, and we'll distract from Hank and Raven." "Unlikely." Charles glanced over his shoulder at his sister, who was hanging on her new husband almost indecently. He wondered if she intended to consummate the marriage in front of everyone as some sort of grand finale for the reception. Eric frowned as he took a seat in the chair nearest Charles. "Are you all right?" "Yes." Charles stopped himself. "Mostly. No, actually. Can you please tell me absolutely everything that happened with you and your ex this morning? Everything. What everybody said, and what you were wearing, and what he was wearing, and anything else you can think of." "Charles, has this been bothering you all morning? I only told you because I didn't want you to feel I'd hidden it, even for a few hours." "I know it's stupid. I know it's insecure of me. But clearly something he said got to you. And if he got to you, then maybe he got to me too, you know?" Eric responded by kissing Charles again, almost fiercely this time. Charles brought his hands up to brace himself against Eric's shoulders. As much as he wanted to enjoy this, he couldn't help wondering whether maybe Eric was kissing him like that to convince him, or because he felt guilty. Then Eric said, "Okay, first thing first, he will never, ever get to you. He doesn't get through me to hurt you too. Never." It was as though Eric were standing in front of an attacker instead of turning down an ex. Charles felt a swoon might be coming on. "Okay." "As for what he said, apparently he ran into one of my old friends from the running club the other day. Walt, from the party, remember? Sandy Hare?" 3 weeks ago, Charles had gone to a party mostly populated by members of Eric's former running club, past or present. It was the first time he'd ever been introduced as Eric's boyfriend. On many levels, it had been an awkward evening. Nobody seemed to know what to make of the fact that Eric was dating a paraplegic, and each of the classic blunders was committed at least once. Like someone talking about Charles to Eric, as though Charles wasn't able to hear and respond like any other person. At first, he had thought getting through that night sober was going to be hard going. In the end, though, most people got past their awkwardness, and the others at least tried, and Eric was so devoted that Charles didn't care how anybody else felt about it. "Right. Right. The guy that hates tortilla chips?" "How do you remember that? Anyway, Walt's a good guy. I know he didn't say it like this, but..." Eric's jaw worked in the way that Charles had learned meant he was forcing back his own anger. "My ex said he didn't think I would lower myself to being kept." It took several seconds for Charles to get the words out. "Kept?" "Exactly. But he insisted that was the only reason I would be dating a man in a wheelchair. For the money. He knew you had money as soon as Walt told him your name. That's the kind of society thing he always cared so much about. And I hated that he could think such a thing. That's what's been weighing on me. I keep wondering if anyone else thinks that's the only reason I'm with you." "That's ridiculous. The other day you didn't even let me buy the movie tickets." "Because I was the one who wanted to go." "You make $45,000 a year. My bank account looks like the GDP of a thriving first world nation. You could let me get the movie tickets once in a while." "And let people think you pay for the pleasure of my company? No thanks. I'd rather go Dutch." Well, there went Charles' ambition to surprise Eric with something splashy on his birthday. He'd been thinking of a luxury trip to Japan. And they could still go, surely. But he'd have to lead up to it for a while. Maybe Hanukkah? I know you're not with me for my money, all right? You're the least materialistic person I've ever met. Eric sighed. I'm not that good, but I know you understand how much I love you, don't you? Yeah. Charles caressed the side of Eric's face, a quick touch, but enough to bring back the shadow of a smile. And everybody else will see the truth about you in time, so don't let what he said bother you any longer. You thought I was worried about what other people think of me? Eric's expression was incredulous. I don't give a damn about that. I never have. It just made me so furious that he thought that about you, that you didn't give me anything, or I wouldn't have any other reason to be with you. I told him that too. Defending my honor. The impulse to swoon returned. Taking Charles's hands in his, Eric leaned forward, so close their faces nearly touched. I only told him the truth. I said that you make me laugh, that you don't bitch when I get up before dawn to run, and that you always say thank you when I bring you tea, that you want to hear my opinions, even when you argue with me about them, that you want me to have joy in my life, even apart from the joy we have together, because you care about me as a person, not just as an accessory, which is the most he was ever able to offer me in 10 years. I told him if I were the millionaire and you were the one drawing an hourly wage, we'd still be together, and that you'd be the lover I've always wanted. This was about 4,000 times better than Charles had ever dared to dream. For the longest time, he could only smile stupidly at Eric, but he finally managed, "You really said all that?" "Yeah." "It's mean, but I have to know. What did his face look like?" "Not entirely sure." He turned around and started walking off after the bit about him using me as an accessory. But I shouted the rest at his back. I think it still counts. It definitely still counts, Charles agreed, and drew Eric into the most passionate kiss he could remember. They left the reception not long after Hank and Raven, who went through the whole bouquet and decorated car routine, even though they were just driving back to West End Avenue. Their South American cruise wouldn't start for another 2 days. There was a final toast to the couple, though, and as the waiters came through with fresh trays of champagne, Charles wondered plaintively when they'd bring around the cup soda. To his surprise, Eric snagged 2 flutes from the tray and held one out to Charles. The other he kept. "Are you sure?" Charles said. Eric's expression looked more set than celebratory, but he nodded. "I'll just toast the couple, but you should go ahead. Enjoy yours." Charles took a sip. "Oh, sweet, precious, bubbly, lost for so long." His attention remained on Eric, however. "What brought this about?" "I don't miss alcohol, and I don't ever intend to be drunk again. Still, I thought, I shouldn't let the past get in the way of celebrating someone else's happiness." Good to his word, Eric took perhaps 2 swallows of champagne after the toast before setting his glass aside, but he didn't object to Charles finishing his own, particularly when Charles took the prescription bottle from the pocket of his coat and shook out 1 blue diamond-shaped pill. A grin stealing across his face, Eric said, "You came prepared." "What can I say?" Charles washed down the Viagra with a last gulp of his champagne. "Weddings always get me in the mood." As Barry White sang, "My first, my last, my everything," over the loudspeakers, they sent for their prearranged van, then tried to find their friends to say goodbye. Instead, they found their friends, specifically Moira and Sean, dancing together. Slow dancing, even though the song was hardly appropriate, and their eyes were locked on each other as if they never wanted to look away. At first, Charles and Eric could only stare. Then Eric said, "Are they glowing?" "My God," Charles whispered. "I actually am a genius matchmaker." Eric held his hand out in a sort of helpless shrug.
"We can just call them later."
"Text, I think. We'd better text. Calls interrupt."
"Definitely text."
By now, they were fairly expert at making out in Eric's elevator. There were several interesting variations on how they could fit together in such a small space, but Charles liked this one best. Eric draped across his lap, kissing him open-mouthed.
"Better get up," Charles whispered against Eric's lips. "Almost there."
"Not yet."
"Wanna fuck me?"
They'd invested in one of those wedge pillows, and it was, by now, one of Charles's five favorite possessions of all time.
"Later."
Eric pushed one hand between them, down toward Charles's crotch, where the distant pressure of Eric's palm revealed that the Viagra was doing its job.
"First, I want to enjoy this."
They got to Eric's floor and hurried into the apartment. Charles took the corner back towards Eric's bedroom as fast as the power chair would allow, then stopped.
"The bedroom!"
"Oh, right. I forgot. What do you think?"
"You said you were painting it, but I never thought you'd paint it purple."
"My tie was supposed to be a hint. Do you like it?"
"I do."
That was what Charles would have said in any case, but in this case it was true. He'd thought Eric would probably choose beige or tan, maybe gray if he was feeling especially daring, but instead the walls of his bedroom were now a dark purple, muted enough not to be overpowering, but deep enough to be luscious. The shade set off the stark black and white furnishings, turning what had been an almost austere space into one that was, well, sexy.
"I think you're getting in touch with your sensual side."
"What can I say? You bring it out in me."
Then they were grappling with their suits, getting each other naked as fast as possible. By now, Charles was thick and rigid, body and brain and drugs working together to make him rock hard. Eric sucked at him while Charles massaged Eric open, though the blowjob only registered as vague waves of sensation and arousal that was delightful in its own right. "Half the trick," Charles thought, "is not comparing what I've got to what I used to have, just accepting it for what it is, which is awesome."
"Get up here," Charles growled when he thought Eric was ready. "I want to watch you ride me."
"Yes, sir."
Eric's smile only faded as he lowered himself onto Charles. His jaw dropped open as the feel of it took him over. Charles braced one hand on Eric's thigh, enjoying every moment of the show, his cock sliding into Eric's beautifully muscled ass, the way Eric's powerful chest heaved with each breath, the sheer exhilaration on Eric's face. He took hold of Eric's cock with fingers still slick with lube and started massaging him, timing every squeeze and stroke to match the way Eric moved up and down.
"I love watching you like this," Charles murmured.
Eric didn't seem to be able to say much more than that. The buzz humming through Charles was familiar, the way his body now experienced arousal. While the signals coming from his cock were muted, the cocktail of hormones and adrenaline zipping through his bloodstream was doing its job, making him lightheaded and giddy. He arched his neck and back, an instinctive move, and Eric responded by rubbing his thumbs against Charles's sensitive nipples. Every circle seemed to dizzy him further. By now, Charles knew he was close to orgasm. As close as he ever got, anyway. Before, he'd always made the mistake of chasing his climax, becoming more and more frustrated as it slipped away. This time, he simply enjoyed how delicious it felt, content to ride this wave as long as he could, concentrating as much on stroking Eric's cock as anything else. But as Eric continued to ride him, starting to groan as he neared the brink, Charles felt his own arousal deepening, the world starting to go dark and sparkly around the edges. "Eric?" he whispered. And then there was that feeling he'd almost forgotten, like falling or flying. Charles cried out long and ragged as it surged through him, all the way up to the top of his skull. Immediately, Eric stilled. "Charles, you came." "Uh-huh." Charles opened his eyes and smiled, knowing he probably looked almost ridiculously happy and not giving a damn. "Oh, yeah." Eric bent down for a kiss, but even as he did, Charles resumed pumping Eric's cock. And Eric was either already so close to the brink or so turned on by finally getting Charles off that he took hardly any time. As Eric grunted, hot cum squirted through Charles's fingers, all across his chest. And that made it perfect. Then Eric was beside him, kissing him long and wet. Charles hung on him, a loose and messy embrace that nonetheless satisfied him completely. When they broke apart, he laughed out loud for sheer joy, but caught himself when he saw how moved Eric was. Hey, it's all right. Better than all right. Eric nodded and swallowed hard. Yeah, I wanted this for you. I wanted it for you. Then Charles laughed again. And okay, yes, for me too. God, Eric, that was wonderful. How did it feel? He wasn't asking for more expressions of joy. Eric really wanted to understand the physical sensation. Charles had to think for a few moments, during which Eric ran his fingers through Charles' sweaty hair. Finally, he said, "Different. You don't get that, you know, that... in your cock and balls. But still, the surge comes over you, and even though it's different, you know what it is." "Good," Eric said. Already he was calmer, settling into the deep, sleepy happiness that followed sex. It felt so nice to be right there with Eric this time, to know that same sensation cocooned them together. "I guess it's like thunder instead of lightning," Charles murmured. He shifted on the bed in a way that meant he wanted Eric to pillow his head on Charles's shoulder, which Eric did. But thunder can still rock your world. "What did we do different this time?" Charles wanted to credit the way he'd relaxed and accepted his body's response, but that alone wouldn't guarantee that this could happen regularly from now on. Or even ever again. So he said, "Nothing. It was as wonderful as it usually is. And then it got better."
"That's all?"
"That's all," Charles said, brushing his lips against Eric's hair. "And that's enough." Another August. "The traditional gift for the first anniversary is paper," Raven groused, as she and Eric rode the escalator in Neiman Marcus. "When I told Hank that, he said he could use some new note cards." Note cards! I told him I did not want to unwrap note cards at our anniversary dinner.
"I wouldn't worry," Eric said.
Charles had already reported that Hank's gift to Raven was a rare autographed copy of Franny and Zoe.
"But what are you going to get for him?"
"I have no idea, which is why you're here today, to help me shop."
"Is that really why I'm here today? Because, let's face it, I'm the world's worst shopper." Well, yeah, you are. Raven gave him an up and down look. We're swinging by menswear later. We've got to find you some new shoes. Eric just laughed. After more than a year with Charles, their lives had become so intertwined that he no longer remembered what it was like not to spend weekends in Winchester County relaxing with Charles in the pool, or listening to Charles rant about copy editors who didn't know anything about science while simply nodding and making a soothing cup of tea, or having Raven as a sort of adopted sister. And Raven was probably the equivalent of five or six normal sisters, he thought. She was forever in his business, always telling him what he should do or how he should do it, but always out of love. And Eric found he didn't mind it. The fact was, he didn't let himself remember life before Charles, because it seemed to him there hadn't been enough worth remembering. Yes, Charles could be egotistical. He tended to overreact to emotional upset, his humor and affability disguised just how bullheaded he could be. And he kept putting things like ice cream and Sara Lee pound cake in the fridge, even when Eric specifically told him about refined sugar being a poison. With all that, Charles was still the only person Eric could imagine fitting so perfectly into his life. "Here's a thought," he said as they wandered through the jewelry area. "I've been taking a literature class at the 92nd Street Y, and I saw a poster for an origami workshop. Origami's all about angles, mathematical probabilities. It seems like exactly the kind of thing Hank would like." A huge smile appearing on her face. "Oh my God, that's a great idea! No, that's perfect!"
"Really?"
"Yes, absolutely!" She grabbed her smartphone out of her purse. "Okay, gotta search for the Y. Call. Make sure they sell spots in the class." Eric felt he had the right to be just a little smug. "Not such a terrible shopper, am I?" "At this moment, you're wearing a brown belt with black shoes, so yeah, you are," Raven replied. As he looked down at his fashion faux pas, she continued, "Besides, I didn't bring you to help me shop. That was just a cover story."
"Cover story? For what?"
"For me asking you whether your intentions towards my brother are honorable." When Eric just stared at her, Raven rolled her eyes. "It's been more than a year already. Are you even thinking about proposing?"
"Me?"
"Oh, God!" Her face paled. "You really haven't been thinking about it? Shit! This was just supposed to be a nudge. I didn't realize you didn't want to. Wait! Why wouldn't you want to marry Charles? He's wonderful, and he adores you." Eric held his hands up as though in surrender.
"I didn't say I didn't want to. I'd never say that."
"You mean you do want to marry him?" He'd never actually spoken the words before. It felt unlucky, like saying your birthday wish out loud. But now he said,
"I can't think of anything that would make me happier. Still, I always thought Charles would want to be the one who asked me."
"He thinks you're the one who'd want to ask," she sighed. "You know, defined gender roles are mostly incredibly annoying, but at least sometimes they can be kind of a tiebreaker, you know? I guess with two guys, you'll just have to flip for it."
"Hang on. Charles said he wants to marry me too?"
Eric knows he sounds like a gossiping junior high student. "Does Charles like me? Check yes or no." And didn't give a damn. Not in so many words. He's better at dodging my nosiness than you are. After all, he's had a lifetime's practice, and you're only 1 year in, Raven said. But reading between the lines, yeah, he does. So ask him already.
Why wouldn't he ask me? If he wants to.
For one moment, Raven almost looked serious. "It's stupid, but I think it's because he worries about, you know, weighing you down. Sometimes he talks about how you already spent a decade of your life looking after people in wheelchairs, and maybe you don't want to do that forever." He doesn't talk about it to me.
Charles used to say things like that when he was in one of his darker moods, but Eric had always told him he was being ridiculous. And that hadn't convinced Charles otherwise, just made him keep his worries for someone else. Eric sighed. Charles still feels like that?
Not as much as he used to. Not nearly as much. But I think it's enough to make him hesitate before proposing. And, yeah, I know it's stupid, and you know it, and really even Charles knows it, but there it is. So, what's your excuse?
Eric hated even saying this, but there was no dodging an interrogation by Raven. He would only delay it and make it worse. He repeated, "I always thought he'd be the one to ask."
But why?
This wasn't going over well. Having to explain this to Raven was mostly making Eric realize he was perfectly capable of being just as bullheaded and foolish as Charles.
Well, mostly, the money.
Oh, please. I would hate it if anyone thought, blah, blah, kept man, blah, blah, blah. This is just that big argument you guys had about Japan all over again. It was the darkest 3 days of their relationship, a period Eric and Charles referred to as the Hanukkah fight. Charles had surprised Eric with first-class tickets to Tokyo for them both, as well as a reservation in a 5-star hotel. Eric had protested that it was too extravagant, which Charles thought was cute until Eric flat-out refused to go. The bitter arguing had gone on to the point where it becomes serious, until Eric realized he was not actually making a noble stand, but instead being a complete asshole about the nicest present anybody had ever given him. They went to Japan in March, Charles taking a week's vacation on either side of spring break, and it had been everything Eric had ever dreamed. Better, really, because Charles was there, and had been good enough not to say, "Told you so," even once.
"You're right," Eric said. "We're both getting tripped up by the same old things."
But Auntie Raven is here to set things straight. She looked inordinately pleased with herself. They always had other people setting them straight. So much that Eric felt a sudden moment of real fear. What if that was a sign their relationship was seriously flawed? Shouldn't they be able to share everything with each other, no matter what? Shouldn't misunderstandings like this be in the past for him and Charles by now? And then he thought, no, of course not. Yes, he and Charles were flawed. Sometimes they got each other wrong. They weren't perfect. One of the things Eric had learned from Charles was to let go of the idea of perfection. He could accept the good things he was given, and the good things he had to give, and trust that they were enough. Maybe the life he had to give to Charles was enough. Eric glanced from side to side.
"We're in the jewelry department. I take it this is by design?"
"Actually, I thought they had stationery on this floor. But you know, as long as we're here, ring shopping could be fun."
Raven cocked her head, obviously hopeful. "Not today. But I'm thinking about it."
"You are?"
She started doing that thing where she somehow jumped up and down in place while clapping her hands together very fast.
"You are!"
"Can you actually keep this a secret?"
Eric liked the idea of surprising Charles. His birthday? No, that was too far away.
"I can, definitely. Totally secret," Raven swore.
Eric gave her a look.
"I'll do my best, I swear."
"Your best had better be pretty good," he said. "Come on, let's get lunch." Maybe Eric's own birthday would be the right time. That was only a couple months from now. Charles saying yes would be the best gift imaginable.
"Lunch is good."
Raven began leading them back toward the escalator. "But I'm not going to that probiotic place again, so forget it."
"You know, I think I'm in the mood for steak."
As they descended to street level and the noise and din of the city, Eric glanced upward over his shoulder, stealing one last look at the rings. The end.